Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Now, chapter 3 of The Great Hope explains that we live in the midst of a spiritual conflict, a great controversy between good and evil, that Satan actively works to stop people from understanding and living the truth. Truth, when embraced, sanctifies and sets the soul free. I'll say that again. Truth, when embraced, sanctifies and sets the soul free. But there are many subtle devices that lead souls away from light into indifference or even error. And recognizing these dangers helps us to cling more firmly to what God reveals in Scripture and to remain faithful in an age of confusion. Elder Mbangu joins us on the line to take us through these dangerous seductions that are spoken of in this book, The Great Hope. We're in the third chapter, so please do read along with us and share your insights. My Elder, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Blessed morning, Sister Suwangile, and blessed morning to all listeners. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time this morning and look forward to a beautiful, beautiful session together. But maybe if you could open for us with prayer before we get into it.
Absolutely. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are here as your children. We are grateful for life, for new experiences, and everything that you tease that you bring into our lives. Before we open your word, now we ask from you, Lord, that you lead us, give us grace and the power of the Holy Spirit so that, Lord, everything that we say, let it be sanctioned by you. It is in the name of Jesus we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Now, Elder, what does it mean that truth sanctifies and sets the soul free? What is that? And why is this important in our spiritual journey?
The truth is the greatest thing that we have here. And where do we find it? How can we access the truth? Well, the truth, what sanctifies this whole thing, this journey that we are on, is of course basically what the Word of God tells us. And when we read John 17, verse 17, we are told in that scripture that sanctify them by your word, and your word is truth. Mm. So now sanctification is basically a setting apart. You've been removed from the rest. You've been placed aside for holy use. You know, the most important aspect of this is this: we are separated from worldliness. Mm. And the only thing that can separate us from worldliness or the world to be consecrated is the word of God. And that's what brings the sanctification, because it brings purpose into our very existence, into our lives. So many people are living without purpose. But now when the truth comes, it gives us perspective. It gives us clarity of how we ought to live, you know. And that's why John 17:17 has come to us to tell us that, because as the truth sanctifies us, in that word which comes to our life, it gives us this idea of knowing and living for Christ. Mm. And it reshapes our character. Mm. Because we cannot do it on ourselves. And so that reshaping of character, it brings us in alignment with thus saith the word of the Lord. Amen. Because God prepares us for a deeper experience in the relationship. But how does he do that? It is through the word. And the word is what comes into our lives and brings purpose and brings order, redefines how we live, and just sets a tone on how, as God's children, we are to live, not out of this world, in it, but we know how to live whilst we are in this wicked and desperate world. Mm. So that's what brings clarity into our lives. Mm. And that's the main reason. Yeah, go ahead. You wanted to say something.
No, I was just thinking about the fact that in modern society, in modern Christianity, truth is not really that absolute. It's kind of like this is my truth. So each and every one of us has our own version of what the truth is. And it almost seems like the truth is not, it doesn't serve that purpose to sanctify. The truth is just whatever makes me feel good, whatever gives me some sense of comfort or moral superiority. Yeah. That's my truth.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's that term that you just alluded to, my truth. Mm. My truth. What is your truth?
Yeah.
But what's the bigger picture? What's the bigger picture? The bigger picture here is there is the truth.
Yes.
And everything else that does not align to that is error and is not truth. And that's why for us as God's children, in this journey that we are in, we find the purification it brings. Because it unites us with the bigger picture of aligning with a closer walk with Jesus through the Word. It brings that exposure to us so that we can know, okay, this is wrong and this is right, as opposed to just saying, this is my truth.
Exactly.
Because your truth might not, and as God's children, we need to really grasp into that, and because this is where we find the empowerment which we need. And basically, when we are empowered and when that truth settles into our lives, we find that confidence to walk in freedom, because we'll never really walk into that freedom unless we have been empowered and we find that purpose for our lives.
Beautiful. I think that's one of the great deceptions that the devil has brought on us, just for us to misunderstand the purpose of the gospel, misunderstand the purpose of truth. And so he doesn't mind if you're going to read the Bible and take it and look for the scriptures that will back up what you already believe. Doesn't mind if you go to church every Sabbath, but there's not actually a transformation taking place, or I'm not actually allowing the truth to convict me, to rebuke me, to change me, to transform me. It's just something that it's basically just part of the routine. Yes, every Saturday I go to church and then I go home and do the exact same thing that I was doing last year. No change, no difference. That is not a gospel that threatens the devil in any way. And so that's one of his greatest deceptions, because we're comfortable. We think we're safe because we're going to church all the time, because we pray and we read the Bible. So we think we're safe. Oh, man. And so how does that happen? How do we become indifferent to truth? And what are some of the modern examples maybe of how we do that?
Well, that's a very, very good, and it's a very good question, because this indifference without one finding themselves saturated, covered in the Word is always going to be evident. You see, that's the beauty about this Word, which sanctifies, is that it brings evidences throughout our lives. And you see, what happens when we become indifferent to the truth, it will show in what we prioritize in our lives. It will show in our pursuits, what we are pursuing. It will show in our what we feel is more comfortable, or rather our comfort zones. It will show in our personal ambitions. It will be evident even in our relationship or in our culture conformity. Mm-hmm. But you see, when we are in the Word, when the Word is giving us that light, it's illuminating us and it's guiding our footsteps in everything we do, we are not trapped in that aspect of us going the other way. Because once the trap comes in, that is where the lukewarmness comes. Yeah, it leads to lukewarmness. And when believers have become lukewarm, they have become useless.
Hey.
And when the salt loses its taste, what good is it for the world?
Yeah.
You know, what good is it for the world? So the thing is comfort. We want to avoid certain things, certain truths. We feel, okay, no, this, no, we can't touch it. We want to fit in. So in the process of fitting in, we compromise. And when we compromise, we are chipping away from what our values are. Mm-hmm. And the more we do that, the more we find ourselves aligning with the world. And now this brings about this state of lukewarmness, because we feel we want to be popular. And this aspect of being popular, because we want to flow with what the culture states, with what my family is saying, instead of standing on the biblical values which govern and direct every aspect of our lives. Mm. And we find that this also affects our personal preferences, you know, because now we'll be letting feelings or opinions outweigh what scripture says, sola scriptura.
Amen.
And in this modern world that we are living in, where there is social media and where people are sticking to what they feel is right, mm. there's a tendency among believers to be selective in what they are listening to,
picking
certain things from the Bible, as opposed to everything that the Word of God tells us, ignoring other portions of Scripture because they're affecting what I like, what I prefer to do, you know? And this is what brings relativism, you know? And when this relativism comes, you know, this is a saying of subjection, of justifying personal choices. Yes, absolutely, you know? And when we go into the Word, it's either right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's either black or white. It's either righteousness or unrighteousness. There is no gray area, you know. Mm. And once we dip into that sphere, we find that even our moral aspects are compromised. And now a believer starts to conform to the standards of the world, to the culture of the world, to the norms of the world, you know, to how you view relationships and how business or money is handled, and all these other aspects now come in, and hence the issue of the LGBT and all, as long as, you know, all these aspects come because of the indifference that comes about when people stop regarding a thus saith the Lord. Yeah. And this can ultimately lead to a spiritual drifting away. Mm. And when God's children begin to drift away, then it's a problem. No wonder Jesus warns us in John chapter 12, verse 48, loving the praise of men more than God's praise.
Sure. Yeah. That's powerful. And I think it might be the previous chapter where that spoke of the fact that when the church starts to compromise, when we start to compromise with the idea that no, we're trying to be relatable, we're trying to bring them in, what often happens is that we are then turned to the world, not the world turned to Christ.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely.
So sometimes we think we're trying to be accommodating, we're trying to be helpful, we're trying to show, you know, kindness and mercy, just like Jesus did. When you see what Jesus did, he never condoned any sin, even as he extended mercy to sinners. He was still quite straight up about what the Word said. This is wrong.
Yes.
Go and sin no more.
Yes.
Right? I'm not here to condemn you, but what you're doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. Don't do it anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's where most of us are getting it wrong, because there's a difference between condoning and loving.
Yes. That's
you
it.
Can love a sinner, but still say, no, this is where we draw the line.
Yes.
This is wrong. Mm. So he was able to reach out and he was able to touch people's lives. And they could see his genuine love, because whilst he said, no, this is not right, he was still there. He was able to touch people at the very core of their hearts.
Sure, that's powerful. And what practical steps can we take to keep from being misled when truth is rejected? Because, you know, the truth is not always convenient. The truth often involves a cross. It's not pretty. It's not Instagrammable. The truth can be very difficult to swallow. It can be difficult to absorb. What can we do to make sure that we're not rejecting it because of that?
The most important thing, what the scriptures and what you say, is one's salvation. When one is saved and you are embracing the word of God in its totality, God gives us the grace to carry the cross. Because every believer has to carry their cross. And yes, sometimes it may feel like truth is so involving, and there's this cross, and you know, but that now goes into saying, how's your relationship? How do you relate to your Savior? You know, when you have established, when you are saved, and when you realize what He has done for you at the cross, and that's why we find our people who have gone ahead of us, they say this light and temporal affliction cannot be compared. It cannot be compared with what awaits us in the future. And so as believers, we need to embrace because of the cross. And there are practical steps that as God's children, we can stay grounded by doing this. The most important thing, of course, we know is immersing ourselves in scripture. Because when we immerse ourselves in scripture, God makes the word our foundation.
Amen.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, verse 105. And this is what is important for all of us. And the other practical step we can take so that we don't fall into this trap and not embrace what comes our way is praying for discernment in every station, in every aspect of our life, because we should ask God to help us to recognize the truth and to give us courage to live it.
Amen.
That's why the Bible tells us, don't deceive yourselves by just being a listener, but ye be doers also of the word. That is how we are going to be able to lift our cross and walk with it. And in fact, when we do this, we'll find that what we thought was a burden becomes a blessing.
Amen.
Because He gives us the grace to carry that cross. But if you are doing it on yourself, with your own power, with your own strength, then you miss the point, because actually that is not salvation. Because salvation is, Lord, I cannot do this. You do it for me. And that's where it comes. And that's where we find that connectivity and that power which we are given. And when we are given this power, then we can stay connected with Him. And by staying connected with Him, we are also going to stay connected with believers who speak the truth into our lives, as the word of God tells us. Yes. And so when this happens, we'll find that we'll count the cost. Remember Jesus' words in Luke 14, verse 28. Count the cost. There is a cost to discipleship.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Peter counted the cost, and when the disciples counted the cost, the Bible says they left him. They did leave him. But then there's that coming back aspect. And they came back. Why? Because now they realize that without Him, we can do nothing. And all of us, without Him, we can do nothing.
Yep.
So we need that cross because it brings positive aspects into our lives.
Yes.
It brings positive aspects. Why? Because it gives us, it puts us on the path to obedience. It makes us to not depend on ourselves, but to depend on Him.
Yes.
And when we are obeying His word and when we are depending on Him, then we know that we are on the right path, regardless of the situations that will come. Mm-hmm. We know that God has our back.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my elder. I really appreciate your time and look forward to getting into what the rest of this chapter has for us on Thursday. Thank you so much for coming through. Amen. Such a powerful, powerful lesson, a very important and timely one for us. So God bless
Amen.
You. Thank you for
Amen.
Your time.
Praise the Lord. Indeed. Amen.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.